Hey, can we just thank our pastors, Pastor Tim and Alicia? We love you guys. Love you guys. Hey, Pastor Tim, I just want you to know I'm just honored to be able to step in for you today and to be able to share with our church family here at Meadowbrook. You know, last 30 years of ministry here in this community has not only made a difference in my life, and it's made a huge impact in my life. It's made a difference in the lives of so many people and the lives of our community. So I just want to say thank you, Pastor Tim and Alicia. Thank you for saying yes to the calling of God that's called you to be here right in Marion County. Come on, one more time. Let's just celebrate and thank our pastor. Even at home today, drop on their social media page and say hey to them. But church family, I do want to let you know, Pastor Tim is doing well. He's recovering really well. He's excited to be able to be back with us on June 14th. It's going to be a beautiful time to be able to be together. And as he's at home, he's also wanted me to let you know how much he loves you and how much he cares about you. And he also, this week, has had a big burden on his heart. And just with some of the things that are going on in our country right now. And he wanted to share some things. And obviously, he can't be here. He's home recovering. But he wanted to share some things with you as your pastor and as the pastor of this house. And so he prepared a letter that he's entrusted me to read. And so I want to share that with all of us today. And it says this. This is the heart of our pastor. This is Pastor Tim sharing this directly to us. It says this. In the view of the recent and tragic events in Minneapolis and now beyond, I wanted to, even in my absence, as your pastor, make comment. As much as I long to be with you, I find comfort in knowing the Comforter is with you. It would be wrong for any of us to think or feel that these events do not impact us. The needless death of George Floyd while in police custody is wrong on every level and should be condemned by all. But it must be stated that lawlessness does not cure injustice. Understand that the whole scenario is not isolated and should not fade with news cycles. Understand that ultimately the enemy is the divider, and we should not be ignorant of his devices. And as the church, the body of Christ, and the world today, we must take our place. We are not the world. We are not the government. We are the church. So as the church, first of all, take your place in prayer. Secondly, take your place to love your neighbor. Remember, your neighbor is anyone in reach or in view of you. Loving your neighbor is the second half of the great commandment given to us by the Lord. Third, take your place as a learner. We must all listen to and look out for, learn from and about one another so that events like these no longer happen. Fourth, take your place as healer. Every day there will be something and someone right in front of you that you can begin to help and to heal, starting with a smile, a friendly face, a kind word, and a helping hand. We, as Meadowbrook Church, will take our place in these ways and more, in our community and beyond, to be a voice and the presence for Jesus as we endeavor to help bring racial healing and unity. Meadowbrook Church is a beautiful, multicultural, multi-generational church family. We're a slice of the city, a slice of heaven. Let us continue to be the light during these dark days. Grace, peace, and much love, Pastor Tim. And I say to that, amen, 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 amen. Well, this morning, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into our service together. I'm really excited about being here and sharing with you today. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our source. Thank you for your help when we need help, our strength when we need strength. We just thank you that you would have your way today. God, right now, we just pray for Pastor Tim as he's recovering. I know and fully confident that his recovery will be quick and be full and be ready to come back on June 14th. I'm just so grateful for our pastors, Pastor Tim and Alicia, that not only do they have a huge heart for you, but they have a huge heart for people and a huge love for you and a huge love for people. And I just say thank you to our pastors right now. And God, I just take a moment even to pray for foster families. As today we are marking May being Foster Care Awareness Month, we pray for foster families. I thank that you are helping them. You are encouraging them today. You are letting them know what they're doing is making a difference. We pray for every child in the foster care system that, God, you are helping them and you are being there for them. You are being a support to them when they don't have support. You are being a strength to them when they don't have strength. And I just speak over our foster care system in our community and in our nation that it would be drained, that it would go down to none, because families are stronger. The church is stronger, and the church is finding ways to help in the foster arena. And God, we just take a moment right now and pray that you would heal our land. You will heal our land against racism. You will heal our land against hate. And I speak peace. I speak unity. And I speak understanding. And you sent your son Jesus into this world, not for one, but for all. So God, we say thank you for that. And Lord, help me right now as I begin to prepare your message. And God, these words that are prepared on paper are not my words, they're your words. So use my words today to help myself and to help our church family to hear them, and not just hear them, but be able to do them. And I thank you that today we will leave different than when we came or when we jumped online today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, hey, church, it's going to be a good morning. And I love seeing faces in our auditorium today. Dream Team, what's up? Man, man, oh, man. As Pastor Ryan shared, we were doing 2 weeks of just inviting our dream team as some soft openings to get back into the groove of things. And church online today, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We know that God is doing some big things no matter where we are today, in your home or on the road. And we can't wait to be able to all come together on June 14th, not just here at Central, but at the Riley Arts Center, the home of our East Campus. Are there any Riley folks here today? East Campus folks, I see you guys. I see you. All right. So we're going to have a really good time. I see you over there, Greg. We're going to have a really good time today, and we can't wait to be back together. And again, I'm honored to be able to share. And I'm going to be sharing this idea that Pastor Tim has just so masterfully laid out for us these last 2 weeks. It's the idea of to reorder. And 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim talked about divine order, and that's putting God first and finding God's place in our lives. And last week, Pastor Tim talked about our biblical worldview. We all have a worldview. It's the idea of how we see things and how we view things. But we don't just want a worldview, church. We want a biblical worldview set on God's word, not on our own agenda, not on our own plan, but on God's word. And so good. If you haven't listened to those, go back, check those out. But today I want to share the idea of reorder, and I want to kind of put the idea and a little twist on the idea of a foundation, reordering our foundation, readjusting our foundation, looking at our foundation and what that is. And the idea behind a foundation is that it's the basis, it's the groundwork for anything. It's the starting point. It's the beginning. It's something that something else is built upon. Now, I don't know about you, but I love building things. I love building stuff. I love and I've always been interested in the idea of construction and remodeling stuff. And some of you right now, you're like, man, yeah, me too. And I see Danny up here. He loves building stuff. And you may be in that same arena. Some of you guys are like sweating right now. Just me talking about that whole idea. But it's going to be okay, so just hang with me. But I've always had that passion, even from a young child. I loved working with Legos. I had these really cool things called constructs, and you could build these structures, and you could do these cool things with them. And I designed them all, of course, on my Etsy sketch. And can I get a witness somewhere, high five online or whatever? Etsy sketch is where it's at, you know? If you're not sure what the Etsy sketch is, it's like an iPad with wheels on it. It's fantastic. It was fantastic. And so Google it, check it out. It'll change your life. But I grew up with those things and just that passion of building. And I also grew up watching some cool TV shows like this old house. Bob Vila in the house, you know? Bob Vila is where it's at. I learned a lot from Bob. Me and Bob are tight. Now I learn most of things that I know off of YouTube, like the rest of the world. So, but Bob Vila, I loved watching those episodes. I also really enjoyed watching this, MacGyver, of course. Taking and building something out of nothing. MacGyver just had that knack of doing that. And I just remember that's kind of how I am wired. That's kind of what my makeup is. I'm drawn to that. And so the idea of foundation is kind of an interesting thing to me. And I know that you guys are almost in the same spot, because I've been on your social media pages, and I've seen the last 10 or 12 weeks that you've been at your house, you've been looking at stuff, you've been seeing things. You're like, man, I've been wanting to do that for the past 5 years, and now you're actually doing those projects. I went to Lowe's the other day. Man, the place is slammed, and home improvement stores all over the world are slammed right now. Why? Because people are doing projects. You're redoing a kitchen, or you're building a deck outside, or you're building a fort for your kids, and you're painting, you're hanging pictures, and you're doing all this stuff, and you're putting all those pieces together. But the important thing that we have to understand when we do all these things, and the things that I've learned, is that the better the foundation when you start, the better the product in the end. Okay, let me just break it down real simple. Hanging pictures are no fun sometimes, right? How many of you guys are with me? And if you do it right, if you get your tape measure and you get your level and you put the bubble where it's supposed to be, then, you know, you can do it. Other times, you end up with like 10 or 15 or 20 holes behind that picture because of having to adjust it and to make it different and make it better. But the better the way that we start, the better our foundation, the better the way that we jump into life, the better the product and the result will be. And so I want to kind of put this idea in front of us because this is something that I think is important and vital to every single one of us. This is something that's important and vital to us as our existence, as a Christian, as a human, and it's the foundation of our mind. The foundation of our mind. Check this out, this idea is. It says, your life will always take you in the direction of your strongest thought. Your life, you're going in the direction of your strongest thought. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As a man, what? As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So our thoughts are directing us. It's sending us. It's leading us in the direction of our strongest thought. Now, here's why it's important. Us humans, on the average, we have 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts per day. Not per year, not per lifetime, 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts per day. Some are more, some are less. But wherever you fit in that, you have these thoughts a day. That's 3,000 thoughts per hour. We have thoughts. This is something that's constantly happening on the inside of us. And so important, as this is all going on in our hearts and in our mind, really, that we have a foundation in what our thoughts are built upon. And so we have to understand this, and we have to realize that our thoughts are formed by memories, they're formed by ideas, by pictures, by comments to ourselves, they're answers to ourselves, they're triggered by emotions, by past experiences. These thoughts are triggered by crisis. They're happening. And so I can even put it this way, that when I say a word like SpaceX, you're like, oh man, yesterday made some history, a rocket going up to space. That's awesome, man. That's pretty cool. You know, your thought just goes there. If I say your first car, you start thinking about that, right? My first car was a 1987 white Cavalier station wagon. It was legit. Had purple tinted windows. 1987, 5-star rims on it. I put some speakers in the back. I put a Jensen 500-watt amp on in there, man, and I think I blew out the back window. It was phenomenal. But you start thinking about these things. Our thoughts are triggered by experiences, and they're triggered by memories, some good and some bad. Listen to this. Thoughts build patterns and pathways in our minds. The type of thought thing that you think determines your destination. The type of thought you think determines your destination. And I find this interesting because as our thoughts are created by and are building patterns, and they're building pathways, that one thought that we have then begins to build a pathway to the next thought. And the next thought begins to build a pathway to the next thought. And if we connect those thoughts to a wrong thought, then we're taking that wrong thought and we're then clearing out a path. We're taking our chainsaw, we're cutting things down, and we're going in the direction of a wrong thought just to realize, well, maybe I need to go to another thought down that path. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in a pattern and in a pathway of wrong thoughts and of wrong thinking. And a lot of times, these thoughts and these patterns and these pathways, they're actually learned over time. And they're learned from childhood. A lot of them are learned from childhood. A lot of them, the things that we learned in our younger days or even as an adolescent or as a teenager, young adult, they're all things that we have learned over time. And maybe I could say it like this. Have you ever heard of the phrase that children are like sponges? Have you ever heard that phrase before? Man, that child's like a sponge. What does a sponge do? A sponge in itself is going to go into a puddle of water and it's going to soak up everything that's around it. That's what it's going to do. It's going to soak that up. And it's a study that talks about that from birth through 6 years old, children's brain works much differently than our adult brain. A children's brain is going to soak up huge amounts of information in that time of that child's life. They're developing those things. They are observing. They are hearing things that are said and actions that are done. That's that early stage of development for a child to soak up and be like a sponge. And those early days create patterns and they create pathways to where we are today. And that's one of the things I appreciate about foster care. My wife and I and our two kids, Braden and Ella, we are a foster family. And 2 years ago, God called us to step in to do that. So we've been a foster family for 2 years now. And man, I tell you, there's been some successes and there's been some struggles. And if you know a foster family right now, I just really encourage you just to send an encouraging text or message right now, because foster families need encouragement. There's a lot of children that are hurting, a lot of children that are broken. There's a lot of families that are broken. And I didn't realize even the depth to where that was until we became a foster family and seeing all those things and the things that families and children are experiencing is very, very tough. And as I was seeing those things and I was learning those things, is one of the things that drew us to foster care, because God called us and said, hey, listen, if you can help one child one day, if you can help one child one day, maybe even just one moment, to soak up some of God's love and to create a different pattern and to create a different pathway for a child, then it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. And so we stepped in and it did that. We're not perfect by any means. We don't have it all together. In fact, we've only been doing this 2 years. I know many of my foster care family parents that have been doing it for decades. And it's hard, but man, it's rewarding in the sense of a child's life can be changed for the better. But as a child, I just see that child soaking up those things. And us, we've soaked up things in our lives. If we look back to our early childhood days, you remember those things that we soaked up, and some were good and some maybe weren't as good. And so we have to begin to look at these things and look at these patterns, look at these pathways and do something with them. So let's dig into this a little bit deeper and check out what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says this, for we live in the world. We do not wage. Though we live in the world, it's kind of hard to read on the side. I'm working hard for everybody today. All right. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to diminish strongholds. We diminish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take, say it with me, captive. We'll jump into that later. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture for us, practical scripture for us that I want to kind of dig into a little bit to help us and develop some things and healthy habits of our thoughts in our lives. And the first thing that we have to understand is that we are at war. And the war is our mind. And our mind is a battlefield. Our mind is a battlefield. It's a war between God's truth about us and Satan's lie to us. Let me read that again. It's a war between God's truth about us and Satan's lie to us. And I love the idea of God's truth. And we know these things. We know that we are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, that I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, that I have a future and a hope. And we see that side of it, and we come to church and we learn these principles, but there's this other side. There's this side that the Satan wants to do whatever he can to lie to you, and that his job is to kill, steal, and to destroy, to get you off the path that God has for you. But this is what the scripture says. It says this. It says, divine power to diminish strongholds. Divine power to diminish strongholds. Do you know that as a child of God, you have divine power? You have the power of God on the inside of you. And this idea of power here, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. And it's the same power as the power of might, but it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that dunamis power, it's saying it right here, that we have divine power to do what? Demolish, to break down, to destroy strongholds in our lives. And if we're to be honest, we all have strongholds in our lives. What is a stronghold? Not a word that we use all the time. It's a fortified prison. It's something that maybe is locked away with the deception of the enemy. It's an area of life that we constantly goes after us and tries to trip us up to where we are. It's a stronghold. It's something that is holding you back from what you should have. It's a stronghold. But God is saying here, Paul's telling us that divine power we have divine power to diminish those strongholds in our lives. I love what it says in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful. So this is already a warning for us. This idea of being careful is a warning. It's a caution. It's saying, hey, be aware. Be aware how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The enemy's job, he's trying to shape your thoughts one lie at a time. Just like I explained earlier, he's trying to feed you a lie in your life. He's trying to get you to believe a lie so that you step into that pathway of a wrong choice. He's trying to feed those lies to us. So not only do we step into the pathway of that one lie and we begin to clear that out and get kind of cozy, but then he feeds us another lie and we continue down a pathway of wrong thinking. And our wrong thinking determines the direction of our lives, and we're missing out what God truly has for us. So we have to be careful not to allow the enemy to shape our thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Instead, we have to know and allow God to shape our thoughts. So before we get there, I want to just share with us a goal and a thing that we can help, that can help you, that can help me, and that is this, is to free your mind of destructive thoughts. We need to free our mind of destructive thoughts. Look what it says right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. It says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. Be made new. Be made new. This idea of to be made new, it comes from the Greek word that means renovate. Renovate. And if you're like me, I've done those renovation projects at my house. And I've done kitchens and tile and flooring and knocking down walls and just using a sledgehammer like a boss. You know what I mean? Like we've done those things and we've accomplished those things. But one of the things to renovate is that you have to do demolition. You have to use the sledgehammer. You have to clear the old things out and get ready for the new things. And this idea of to be made new is to renovate. That God wants us to renovate the attitude of our mind. The consistency of our mind, the thought process of our mind. He wants us to renovate. He wants us to demolish some things and get ready for something new. So we all have thoughts, right? We all have things that we process. 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts per day. Even this hour that we're together. 3,000 thoughts you guys are thinking about right now. At home, you're probably thinking of more thoughts. You got kids running everywhere. You got this happening, that happened. The neighbors just came out and lit off fireworks. I don't know what's going on in your house, but man, there's thoughts. It's going through your mind. And we're here and we have to process these things. But let me just share some thoughts that I think the enemy is trying to shape in us, form in us, designing us, and here they are. Self-critical thoughts, lies that we believed about ourselves, judgmental thoughts, lies and thoughts we've thought about others, worthless thoughts, no one loves me, no one wants me, thoughts of depression, that I've got no purpose, no plan, lustful thoughts, lies that people have spoken over you, lies that you've spoken over yourself, guilt and shame from past, feeling unforgivable, feeling that God doesn't love me. In fact, how could God love me because of my past? Regret and shame on past failures, hopelessness, praying for change, but nothing changing. And we have these things that play in our mind, and it's kind of like a record player, right? You guys know what a record player is? Everybody's with me so far, all right? I went to the store the other day, and they had tons of records out, man. Records are still alive, baby. They're happening. What a record player is, it's this round thing. It spins. You put the thing on top, and anyway. Google, same thing. Etch-a-Sketch and record players, you're on it. So what I love about record players is just the sound and the noise that they make. I've got a record player at my house, but sometimes what happens is that record gets stuck, and it starts skipping and skipping and skipping. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there, you've heard that. It starts skipping. And sometimes our thoughts are like that. We keep playing and replaying, playing and replaying, playing and replaying. And we get stuck in this self-critical thought process, and we get stuck in this judgmental thought process, and we get stuck in this thought process of depression and of lust, and we get stuck in this gear of going back and forth and back and forth. And it's a trap. And if I can be honest with you, as one of your pastors, man, I have thoughts too. And early in my life, I had thoughts of, man, Sean, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You won't accomplish anything. You're not spiritual enough. You're not strong enough. You won't be a good enough husband. You won't be a good enough father. I believe God spoke to my heart and said, you know what, Sean? You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not spiritual enough. On your own. I'm telling you today that those thoughts that you've been thinking about, you're not good enough, strong enough, spiritual enough on your own. We can't do this without God. And God spoke to my heart and said, you know what, Sean, you're not those things, but with me, you can. With me, you can be this. With me, you can do that. With me, you're called to a higher calling. And those things that God built on the inside of me to say, it's not you, Sean, it's me. And on our own, we can't. But with God, we can. Amen, church. At home here, Dream Team, come on now. I love it. Well, let's dig back into 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is what it says. We demolish arguments and every pretension, every claim that sets itself up against what? The knowledge of God. What do? We demolish it. We demolish anything that is not in line with the knowledge of God, with God's word. We demolish those things. We have to tear those things down. And then it says, we take, come on, say it with me, captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have the power. We have the dunamis power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, to take every thought captive and not just capture that thought, but make that thought obedient to Christ. We have that power, not through us, but in God. He's given us that power. He's given us that gift. As a child of God, we have that power, and that power is on the inside of us. And so I want to share with us three things as we get ready to wrap these things up and to close today. These three things are practical things that can help us just take control of our thoughts, not just control our thoughts, but win and take victory in our thought life. And the first one is this: think about what you think about. Church, think about what you think about. What is it that we think about? What are those things that are constantly on that are scratching on that record, that are getting stuck and are just kind of going back and forth and back and forth? And so many times we don't take a thought on those. We don't take inventory of those thoughts. And I really challenge you that right now, even some thoughts that are in your mind that you know you don't want there anymore, write those things down. Take inventory of those things. Those things that are just like, you know, in your mind and in your heart that have been there even for a while, even from a child perspective. They don't need to be there any longer. You could be set free from those thoughts in your life. And so I think it's so important that we think about what we think about. Identify the thought that is holding you back, that stronghold that is holding you back. Identify that stronghold and then do something with it. The easiest thing for us to do is to just let our mind run rampant. Isn't that easy? There's no work involved with that because that happens naturally. How many of you guys, you're good at that? You know, it's like, yeah, I'm good at that part. But we have to do something. We can't let our mind run rampant. We can't let that be the only thing. We have to recognize that not every thought is true that comes into our mind. Second one is this. First one, think about what you think about. Second one is this, capture the thought. Capture the thought. And 2 Corinthians is telling us to take captive every thought and make it what? Obedient to God. Make it obedient to God's word. Take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to Christ. Take it. Identify it. Find out what it is. Take it and make it obedient to God. Confront those disabling thoughts. Confront them. Turn them over to God and become who he sees you to be. And it's going to take some work. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easy to let your thoughts run rampant. It's hard to take them captive. There's action. There's a plan. You have to have a force behind that. But it's possible through the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says this, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. That's no good. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. This is it. This is our choice. We have the choice to let it go, be casual, do whatever you want. Let your sinful nature control your mind, it leads to death, or let your spirit control your mind, and it leads to life and peace. We have a choice. The Holy Spirit's ready to help us and to do that for us. And that's why I think it's even important for our small groups, that you can get around each other and be sharp and being iron to each other, and iron sharpens iron. And we may not be fully meeting all together in small groups right now, but we've got virtual groups rocking. And in the summer, we're going to be crafting those groups even to do restaurants and different homes. And so, man, get in a small group, because that's when you can be vulnerable and tell somebody, listen, I'm struggling with this thought right now. I'm struggling about this thought about myself. I'm struggling with this thought about someone else. This is where I am. I'm struggling with this thought of lust, and I don't want it anymore. When we're vulnerable, when we're open, we release that, and then we can help even be accountable to somebody else in our lives. We've got to turn them over to God and let him do what he wants to do in us. So first one is this. Think about what we need to think about. Second one is capture the thought. And the third one is this. Feed your mind the truth. Feed your mind the truth. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you think, and you think, and you think, and it's ongoing, and it doesn't stop. And we always have to be on guard. We always have to realize the enemy's trying to throw those things at us. We always have to be ready to capture that negative thought and to do something with that thought, and not letting it capture us, but we capture it, and we change the way we think. Come on, say it with me. Change the way we think. We have to be ready to do that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That needs to be our goal. If it doesn't fit this filter, if our thoughts don't fit this filter, then we have to adjust our thoughts. Thought patterns, they are learned. And a lot of them are learned even as children, as adolescents, as teenagers, adults, retired adults. We're all learning. Thoughts are learned. But I truly believe that thoughts can be unlearned and that thoughts can be relearned. And I believe some of us today, we've been allowing our thoughts to create a pattern and a path in the wrong direction. And it's time to realign that path, realign that purpose, look and identify those thoughts, do something with them, and watch what God will do. Amen? Amen. As we close today, I just really feel in my heart, and as I was preparing for this message, that today there's some people need to do that. You need to unlearn, you need to relearn, you need to readjust your patterns, readjust those pathways. And so right where you are here, a Dream Team in the auditorium or online right now in your home, would you just bow your head and just close your eyes and just maybe ask God right now, what are those thoughts do I need to identify? What are those things I need to adjust or things I need to change? What are those things that have been plaguing me and that have been on repeat, cycling through my heart and cycling through my mind? What are those strongholds I need to fight against? What are those things right now? God, we recognize those things, but not only do we recognize those things, we capture those thoughts. We take them captive. We call them the lie. We let go and demolish and destroy the lie right now. And we take up the truth that is in you, the truth that only can set us free. And God, we won't be perfect because none of us are perfect, but we strive to capture those thoughts. We strive to put you first. We strive to let our mind be renewed in you through the study of your word, and show us those things that we need to put into our lives right now. And God, I just speak over some people that have been in bondage with their thoughts. Let it go right now in Jesus' name. Let it go. Release it. Place it at God's feet. Walk away. Tell somebody about it. Get it out in the open. The devil does not win any longer in the name of Jesus. And God, right now, I also just pray for people today that maybe be hearing this message and haven't made a decision for you, that have not given their life to you, that are away from you right now, that have been running the opposite direction right now. And I just speak to their hearts. I speak to their spirits. And I pray that anybody that would hear this message that hasn't made a decision, that in this very moment, that they would give their lives to you. So I want to pray this prayer today. Father God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Jesus who loves me and he gave himself for me. Lord, I love you and I give myself to you. I ask right now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Savior and be my Lord. And by the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, forgive me right now of every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me brand new and set me free. And now fill me with your peace, with your joy, with the Holy Spirit, and with the assurance that you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen, if you made that decision today, if you're watching online or here today, let us know. You can just click the raised hand feature right on the website, or Pastor Daniel in just a few moments is going to give you some other ways. But hey, church, thank you for allowing me to share with you. I love you and can't wait to see you again next week. Don't miss First Wednesday this Wednesday. Love you guys. Bye-bye.